What's up, everyone? This is Connor from the Year One podcast. We tried out our first group talk, and it was definitely pretty interesting. We talked about film, movies, art, politics, and a bunch of other just random crazy stuff. Let us know what you think about the podcast and if you want to start hearing more of these group chats. Our show doesn't have a big budget behind it, so if you enjoy listening, then please share it around with your friends, acquaintances, family, and anyone you think would gain value from our discussions. Also, our new website is dropping Saturday. We'll be posting on our Instagram account once we've gone live. We've been putting a ton of time and work into it, and I can't wait to see what people have to say. Thanks for listening, and welcome to the first Year One podcast group chat.
Dude, but like, all right. So, all right. We're rolling? We're rolling, yeah? So,
what should we... Do we put stock in what critics have to say about anything?
Oh,
about
me? Art? I say no. I think critics can fuck themselves. Because
so you don't take any time to look at reviews on movies?
Because they're still people. And I still appreciate their input.
But do you personally, like let's say you go to the movies, are you one to look at reviews?
Yeah. Yeah? 100%, because I want to see what the masses think of it, see if it's good, see if it's collective. If we're going and it's just like Rotten Tomatoes having disputes with the critics and the people, Orville got a 93% audience loved it, but he got a 23% critic rating.
Yeah.
That tells me that for one, the critics are either for one paid off or they just all a bunch of assholes, for two, I want to get everyone's full scope of it all.
But so you don't take stock though in people who make a living
no.
criticizing.
No, I don't. Because I'll take me and you as an example. How long have you been watching movies for?
Forever.
How are you not a critic?
I mean, I am a critic.
100%. Exactly. So audience can be critics. Critics can be critics. The only thing that stems between the both of them is that somebody they went to a school or a job
and told
them
they're
a critic. It's just a title. Yeah. It's a waste of time. I want to get what the masses say. If the masses think it's trash, it's probably going to be trash. I may like it still, though. Who knows?
Right.
And I would take some stock in it.
And what about you? What about you, Connor? Do you take stock? Like, are you a person who, like, I mean, movies are the most reviewed, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And probably music. But, yeah. But music, there's not even really...
Not really. There
like,
is,
you know,
there isn't.
You it's know. Not really.
Yeah, there,
do you,
there
are you
is.
A person who, like looks Stones. At reviews before you sure. go to movies? Or you look after or whatever?
Yeah, I think, like, I don't go super in-depth to it. Like, I think that, like, if I'm going to go to, like, go see a movie, I, like, check the show times and, like, on IMDb or whatever and like see just like what review it got so I can like kind of like base it out of that, but I really just judge it on like what I think of it, like that's mm-hmm. really it. I really don't mm-hmm. give a fuck about anybody else's opinions. It's like if I like the thing, I like it, and that's what art is. It's so subjective, right? So like some person may love it and it might get a 1 star on IMDb and I might be the biggest fan of that where everybody else hated it.
Right.
Whereas like as long as it did something to me, it's like that's all that matters.
But it's so dangerous because you look at the critic score once, and I mean, I think for the most part, it's like, I mean, trailers, ads, blah blah blah. It's really easy to get like a first impression in your mind and be like, oh, that movie's terrible. Even, you know, mm-hmm. without even seeing more than 20 seconds. I know Evan and I were just talking about this earlier about all the movies that are coming out that are just like, oh, God. Oh, God. You know, and who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I'm almost certain I'm going to dislike all of them. Mm-hmm. But that is something that's very important. It's like when you look at whether you want to or not, when you look at critics' reviews or just reviews, you know, like you go to IMDb, I'm not really, you know, it's like those are most likely professionals, quote unquote, who are like rating their movies, you know, and it's impossible to not get an idea of like how good the movie is going to be, no matter how much of an individual you are. You're like, oh, you know, I'm a person who, and I've seen enough movies and I've looked at enough reviews to know that I more base my opinion does go closer to the critics, mm-hmm. not so much to the audience reviews.
Yeah,
and I've realized that.
I agree.
And
with
it's
that.
Like a lot. Like I mean, I look at the even the audience reviews of like No Country for Old Men. It's like wishy washy, right? I think it's at like a 7 or whatever. But that's like my favorite movie, right? Or one of my favorite movies, top 5 favorite movies. And it's like it's one of those very polarizing films. Which like,
See, you know, I think there's two things. I think there's two things when it comes to that, because I feel like you as an actor has a more artistic lens when it comes to things. I hate to use the word artistic because you had a giant fight over it. But I think you have a lens of the creative aspect it takes to make and understand and direct that movie. Whereas a normal audience goer, people that like Hobbs and Shaw, they go and watch it and they have a more broad look at things, like, oh, this is kind of boring because there's no tits or gunfights. But like, I feel like the more you take that, you take more of the critic side because they understand the nuances of it all, and they understand the movie as a whole. But if you go to, like, let's just say a movie like the first Die Hard. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes the first Die Hard. It was kind of a first of its kind. Action for people, the nuances for the critics. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the critic reviews are, but it was kind of taken by everybody as a good movie. When you do something more like that, I think it's more balanced, because I feel like No Country for Old Men is more on the artistic side.
Of course. It's not an action-packed movie.
It's not for everyone movie.
Right. And I'm sure you also have... I mean, you were just saying, like, you go towards audience reviews, but you have seen more movies than anyone I've met. So it's like you also...
Get both
sides. Whether you're looking for, like, the artistic, like, nuances or whatever you want to call it or not, it's like you... You still have a better understanding. Like, you've seen enough movies to be like, okay, this is how a good movie should go. You know? Yeah, what about you guys? Do you guys look at, like, critics' reviews?
I like what Evan said about the difference between looking at a movie as, like, a critic versus, like, an audience member. Because, like, I don't know, as a filmmaker and, like, all that, I definitely look at it like a critic, any movie that I watch. So even seeing, like... I'm not going to go see Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. That's what it's called now. Yeah, we just decided in this room.
Dude, I already know, because it's a blockbuster movie. It's like, if it's going to be the same exact feel as if I watched Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Fucking any of those movies.
Right.
Any Dwayne Johnson movie. Any of them.
Yeah. Like, so do you watch...
the same feel. Fast and Furious, yeah. And all that. It's going to be a good
movie. He played
a
more emotional
It's
going to
be put
one.
Together. The story's going to be there. There's going to be great comedy, like, bits. And it's going to be a good put together movie. But I don't think it's like... It's on a different tier. It's just like... It's for the money. It's for the audience.
It's just eye candy.
I got a question for everybody.
But, yeah. Sorry. I just want to ask... Do you look at critic reviews either before or after watching a movie?
It depends on
before.
If I care about the movie.
Before you do watch, you do
no,
look at not. Reviews.
Yeah, before, definitely.
Okay.
Not before.
Yeah,
for
you,
sure.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I'll look at the movie on IMDb and be like, oh, it's an 8, whatever. You know.
Right.
That's cool. But then I'll look at, like, the trivia and, like, what all the people said about it if I like the movie. And so, like, for when I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the first time I watched it...
You've seen
it
twice?
Like,
You've seen it twice now?
Oh, I've seen
it
twice, yeah.
Nice.
So. The first time I watched it, and we even talked about it, I was like, I don't know what I think about it, because it was just, like, it wasn't what I expected it to be.
Same.
And it wasn't... And I didn't want to have, like, this, like, biased
distance
opinion just
whatever.
Because I like Tarantino's movies. I didn't want to have a biased opinion. And also because I like Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, so... It's very biased. When I think people say they like the movie, it's because they like Tarantino, they like Leo, they like Brad Pitt, they like Margot Robbie, and so it's a good movie. And I think that's how it is, but then there's also a bunch of small things about it
that
if you read into
quality.
It that are
yeah.
quality.
Yeah, of course.
That make you like the movie. So it's a weird mix of, like, people liking it.
Yeah,
liking
no, I totally agree, and I think I know I'm still like, eh, like, you know, I've had time to process it. And yeah, there's no doubt that, like, visually it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And, like, we talked about all this, like, the feeling of the movie is great. The acting without question is, like, amazing, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. But I also think a lot of, I think what you just said, like, I think so many people are just like, they see Quentin Tarantino, Leo, Margot, and Brad Pitt on a poster. And it's like, They've already decided it's good.
Sold.
And
yeah.
that's why I'm like, all right, well, do people actually like this movie?
Right.
Or because it's like, if you're used to Quentin Tarantino, it's like not your taste.
No.
You know? And that's why, I mean, not to knock you. I mean, I'm sure you had a fairly rounded view of, like, what you thought of the movie, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure your idea was, like, logical. It came from, like, a logical perspective, but I'm sure so many people who, like, thumbs up that movie were just like, I mean, It's a good movie. Like it is.
You gotta watch it three times.
Probably. But here's how. Like I'm different. Like I would be the worst critic, hands down. I'd be the worst critic because everything that I see, I like in one way or another. Like I always like everything, no matter how shitty the movie is. I always like it because, like, for me to understand, like Hobbs and Shaw. Let's take that for an example, right?
Shobbs and Haw.
For those guys to go out on that set and that director to get all these cameras together and have 150 extras with Dwayne The Rock and what's the guy's name?
Jason the transporter.
What is his name?
I totally Jason forgot Statham. His
Jason
name.
Statham. Okay,
Jason
Statham. Yeah.
Jason Statham. Like to get those guys all organized and situated and choreographed. Like, do you know how much work that fucking takes?
Oh my God.
Do you know how many days and hours takes? And time that takes? And that director, I guarantee you, like, yes, there are people who are doing it for the money, but I guarantee you that director too is going to do it because of it. It's art and it's hard. Nobody's putting in that amount 100%. Of hours.
Oh, it's art.
Right?
100%.
To make some movie, and yes, it's going to make a $1 billion, of course. There is, for every single movie, doesn't matter what it is, like a Quentin Tarantino film, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino is probably speaking from an aspect of literally just artistic value, but then there's a whole team beside him that is thinking about how the fuck are we going to make money.
Yeah, right.
We're going to make a fuck ton of money.
And it's
off
like
of
the studio heads.
Exactly.
Because you know? That's really all they care about.
So I look at every single film as like, or just everything in general, like no matter what, even if it's a business or whatever it is, it's like, dude, it still takes so much effort
right.
to try.
Yeah. But that's, so the difference though, is because there is no question, and trust me, I always forget to like pay respects to it. And I think that's the difference, is you can have $1 million of respect for something, you know, and you just respect it, like you just said. But that doesn't mean you like the movie. And it's easy for those two to get crossed where you're like, oh, I respect it so much that it's impossible for me to not enjoy it. But what you have to do, I mean, maybe not have to do, it's probably healthy what you're doing, but like step back from like the respect. It's like, okay, I've understood and I've paid my respect for this movie and all the people who have put their time in, because we all know how, I mean, we don't all know, but we have an understanding of how much man hours go into these movies. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's literally 1 million hours, if not more.
How much? Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Each person, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy the amount of time. And it sucks because even the terrible movies, and that's what I always just like, I just feel so bad. I just feel so bad that these people put in the same amount of times as they, the same amount of time as they do with
it's for anything. It's for anything.
And to come out and turn out a terrible movie, like, that sucks. And that's why it's like, okay, I've seen enough movies. I shouldn't think like that, but like, I have enough respect for movies to, and I've seen it to know that it's like, okay, the respect is there. Now, how do I feel about the movie? Did it move me?
Yeah. So like for Sargasso, right? Let's just talk about Sargasso real quick.
Sargasso,
like, not a good film. Like if we went to the we went to the movie premiere, like I didn't like it. It was not. It wasn't good. It, like, and I understand that it wasn't good, but like
I felt bad.
And it, but you feel bad, right? Because like I talked to Zach.
Why did you feel bad though?
Because I
never saw it.
I don't know. Because I know how hard it was.
Was
to
the
make
acting
that.
Bad?
And.
You know, it was a whole conversation.
Around, that's a different conversation. Like,
slow. It was vague. Blah blah blah. It doesn't matter. Those people put in.
Yeah. So,
so much
like,
money.
Listen, I could be like, yeah, that's a bad movie. Like, it just wasn't a well like put together movie. Like, not knocking it, but like, I talked to Zach, and you really feel like how hard they worked on it, and like all of that stuff. And he even said, he's like, yeah, just, you know, it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. And like, and there was a lot of things that we learned. So I like respect that they did it though. And that's the thing too, is like they actually went out there, they raised the money to do that shit, which is fucking so hard to do out here, right? To get people to pay for a project. They shot it. They hired the actors. They fucking did the makeup and hair. They choreographed the whole thing. They rehearsed it. They went through it. They did everything they possibly could to get this project off the ground. And it just didn't turn out super great. But like, it was a bad film, but like, am I gonna knock that director? No, like, I'm not gonna knock anybody on that film set. Like, there was things that they could have done right and they could have done wrong, but every single motherfucking director, every single writer, every single anybody who's worked in this industry, no matter what industry it is, they have always had their fuck ups.
See, and I respect that answer, but also I'm not gonna give them any leeway. For one, you produce a movie, which I can tell you from the jump, that script was dog shit. I watched that movie, and I look at the story, and I was like, for one, the story really isn't even that compelling. It really isn't. Just the idea behind the whole thing just wasn't, is not enough there to capture me. For two, like, you could have got Quentin Tarantino, you got anyone to fucking direct it. It doesn't matter. I love everyone that was a part of it, but people need to understand you can have the hardest workers in the universe come down and work on it. If the actual structure and the planning is ass,
or the execution, yeah,
even execution can be amazing. Yeah, if the story is shit, mm-hmm. you can build shit all you want. It's still gonna be shit,
dude. I feel for Evan so much. But dude, because
have you ever been on a film set? That shit is so fucking hard.
It's so hard, and
especially on a small level. If you don't have a lot of money, if you have 300K, that shit is so fucking.
And that's why I'm not giving them. That's why I don't feel. That's why I'm happy they finished it. But literally, I'm sorry. The story wasn't good.
Sure. Yeah, okay, no, I can't say anything. So right. I didn't see the film. But what Connor said, though, is true. Like,
it's true.
Oh, yeah. And I 100% believe that. And
at any point, it's art. And it's crazy that they put in all that time and effort and hours and all that. And then if it does turn shit, it sucks for all the people who fucking worked on it. And they're like, damn, that was actually right. Shit.
And that's 2 years of that. I'm only talking about the director. And not to mention everyone else who I'm not giving credit to, but that's 2 years of the director's life,
right?
Just like, yeah, specifically.
And versus. Oh, sorry.
No. You're good. I also feel though for Evan because it's like we're talking about stuff that is made to move people.
Yeah.
We are doing this for the sake of moving people, and if it fails to do that, then there is no leeway. I think about the people on American Idol all the time who sing, and they sing, and they sing, and they're like, you know, in their mid-40s or whatever, and they went their entire lives trying to sing, and they suck. And it's like no one ever told them that they suck, and here they are in front of these judges who produce music every day of their lives. And they're just like, huh, like, are you serious? You know, I mean, they try to be nice, like, but imagine if the cameras weren't on. They would be like, dude, do anything else. And like, that's why it's like, you pay your respects. Mm. You pay your respects and you go, I respect the work that you put in, but you have to at one point be like, either try something else or figure out what you need to do to get better.
And pick better. Mm-hmm. I like that answer a lot.
Yeah, because there's too many yes men be like, oh, we're making a movie? Yeah, let's do it. Oh, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
You're great. Yeah. You're great. But you got it.
Someone needs to tell that. So whoever come together, be like, yeah, we have a crew together. We have the money, we have the people, but it's like, this script ain't going to cut it. Like, well, someone needs to be there and say
that. But listen.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know. They could read that script. They could see everyone who's written the writer who wrote the script, right? They might think it's the most passionate project like ever, and they might believe in that thing 100% to its core, and they might get other people excited about that. They might read that script and be like, "Wow, this is a really amazing piece of like this is a great script. Like this is going to be really really good." And it comes out of the execution of actually shooting that thing and directing it and acting in it. That doesn't work.
See, but...
Right? And then the writer had a whole entire different idea about when he wrote that script. Like, we don't know what happened with...
It all could have been butchered by one person, too.
And that's usually how it goes, is the writer has this crazy vision for it. That's why Quentin Tarantino is so good, because he writes and then he directs it.
And that's why the best movies are usually that way.
Writer-directors, right? So this guy's going to write this thing, and he feels like this is going to touch the world. Like, this is going to get out there. Mm-hmm. And then the execution is off. But listen, everybody, no one's fucking perfect, right? No one...
Not at all.
Like, you will go through a million fucking failures. You will fail 100 fucking times. But I guarantee you, like, that Sargasso director, he's good. Like, he's a great... I guarantee you that he can do some really good work, and I know he's going to.
Mm-hmm. And
I know
he's not the one who should be criticized.
Exactly.
But somewhere down the line, and that's... I think that's what Evan's getting at, is, like, somewhere down the line, someone has to be, like... someone really fucked up. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, that's mm-hmm. harsh, but it's like, you know, maybe it's just an average movie.
See,
you
but
know, maybe
but
it's a movie that's just.
But you didn't want to say that, and I agree with you. The lines can be butchered, the writing can be butchered, but I'm going to go off things I've learned from Wyatt. Writing is a thing. Writing is why actors pick things. Writing is why directors pick things.
It starts there.
So you're telling me that it went through 7 different people's hands and everyone's like, yeah, no, sure. This is good.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm sorry, dog.
Someone's got to make money too.
Someone,
it's all money there.
But listen, we didn't read the script.
None of us read that script.
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
We would have read that script, we would have pictured it differently. Mm-hmm. Every single person is going to picture that script differently. And that thing could have been flawless. It could have been amazing. Mm-hmm. But the actual way the camera worked, right?
Yeah.
The actual way the actors talked, the way they translated the message was off.
Mm-hmm. But no one can say this is a shit script to the writer if you're going to be a part of the project.
But
no one can
we don't
say
even
that.
Know, like Connor was saying, though, we don't even know it's the writer, and that's why it is fucked up to be like that. But at
it's
the same time,
the
we
writer.
Can't tell. It's not always the writer.
Or not
it's
all
not
up
all,
to them, but
most,
it's good
I would say
or
most
bad
of
because of the writer. The
I
writing
would agree.
Is
I
there.
Would agree, but at the same time, all we do is say, I mean, maybe with the exception of the people in this room, but it's like we just say... That movie was shit. Not and what's shitty is we don't know who screwed it up down the line.
Sure.
We don't know if it was the writer, but all we know is the movie wasn't done well. And that's why it's like, again, the respects need to be paid. But at the same time, it's like at the end of the day, I was not changed by the time I left the movie theater. The only thing that changed for me was like I wasted 2 hours, you know, or whatever. And I think I think it's really difficult because it's so easy to do both. It's so easy to be like, oh, we don't know where, but then we're not. I don't want to give them a pass. I mean, I want to give them respect, but I don't want to be like, oh, that movie was great when it's not.
Yeah, but you think all those guys right now on that set are like, wow, that was a great movie? No, they're like, wow, that was like fucked up.
It's good.
You know, like we didn't do the best job that we possibly could. But the best thing about that is like now that they've learned on how to like do it better.
Of course, of course. And I guarantee you if they were to do it again, it would be so much better. Like the exact same everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
The exact same everything. They would be like, okay, where did it get messed up down the line? I know I probably shouldn't do this, but probably the writing. Probably the writing,
yeah.
Because I mean, and not to go in on just that movie in particular, but it's like, what was it about? What was that movie about?
I don't know. I can't even remember.
I don't remember it at all. And it's like
it was like just a random spot with random people going through.
But you never know. Like you said, it could have been the writer had a brilliant thing, and then the executives or whatever were like, no,
and then
this
you didn't
needs
see
to
it
change.
The way the writer
and
did.
That's what's such a motherfucker, dude. That's such a motherfucker because I mean, most of us have written shit.
But I
in
feel
here.
Like that's preventative. Like we keep saying that. It's like, isn't it the job for the director to sit down with the writer and be like, all right?
It could always get fucked up though.
Dude, it's the executives though, and that they have the final say. Cause
there's
the ones,
so much.
They're the money. They're the ones.
There's
who are
so
the
much
money.
To it, bro. There's so much to it that has to go right, and especially with the more money, the more easier it is to get fucked up. But like,
that's so
then
true,
the more
dude.
Money, then the easier
so
it is to not fuck up. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird balance of both. Like when you're in a 500-300K range, it's just like when you have to like make a real movie, it could get so easily fucked up, and it's just like. You hire one wrong person, and then the whole movie's fucking done.
Yeah, dude.
Literally.
And
it
so
could
true.
Just be your friend, and you don't know he's like, you didn't vet him right or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
dude, and that's what you said just a second ago is so fucked. Like, the more money you put in, the easier it is to get fucked up. Like, dude, that J. Duplass movie. He's like, I'm having to move shit around all just so that this shitty small movie, that's literally what he said. He was like, I felt like I sold my soul a little bit. Like, I can read you the text. He's like, I felt like I sold my soul a little bit to make sure that this movie gains a little traction.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, don't feel that way. Like, at the end of the day, it's like you're doing things to get your movie to, like, more people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's so easy in doing that. It's like, okay, I'll sacrifice these couple things. But sacrificing those couple things can be major. And, dude, that's why at the end of the day, it's like writing and directing. Writing and directing. And then, like, being good enough so that people are just like, here's money. Like, we trust you enough to, like, execute and we'll get money back.
I wonder how many times the executive producers' decisions to change things were better than the creative key being. Like, I wonder how many times.
Better?
Yeah, like, it went better, and then the like director, producer had it. The over.
We all worked on a certain casting site, right?
Yeah.
We all know how that went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't, 100%. And that's what I hate about the whole thing. If I had my one, if I had to pick one thing, I hate the fact that those people are invested in a creative thing, hire someone to be creative, like, on their part, and then they come in and it's like, oh, I don't, no, we got to do it my way. It's like, all right, then you fucking direct it, dude. Well, it's like, if you did not want, it's like, if you wanted me to do this, then you don't come in here. You paid me to do a job. I'm going to do a job. But then people always want to come in and be like, well, I'm paying for it. It's like, yeah, what you're paying for is me to come in here and do this. So if you're going to come in here and do it, I'm going to leave right now, take what you owe me, and I'm going to just bounce the fuck out.
I mean, you guys are literally going through that right now. You guys literally deal with people. Wow, it's about to come back straight to Hustle right where we planned.
Let's go.
But you guys are literally doing... Exactly, you are pitching to people who have never done, most likely, who have never done what you are currently doing, and you're asking them for money. And it's like, I would do the exact same thing. I would do nothing different. But it's like, that's currently what you guys are doing, is like pursuing, asking people who don't know shit about what you're doing for money.
And they don't literally know, they want it, but they don't know they want it.
They don't know if they want.
They don't know fully what they want or how they want it or where to go to get it. So when we come to them, it's a special fucking thing.
And all they want is something that has already been done before, that has been proven to work. And that's what's so messed up. And that's what, it's the same exact thing with movies. They only want things that are guaranteed success, and they're never willing to take risks.
Because why would an investor want to...
You guys are experiencing that frustration on a day in and day out basis, where it's like, how am I supposed to prove to you that this is gonna make money without making money?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally what you guys are going through. That's the
art form to it, kind of, because then you're not a sellout. Like, a Hobbs and Shaw is 100% blockbuster, you know what I mean?
It's going off of an 8-movie series.
It.
Yeah. Like, it's already succeeded.
You're writing it with the Fast and Furious name. You're writing it with the act, one of the actors from that movie.
Two, sure.
But you're like, that. If that is going to make what the investors...
Dude, Marvel could literally record a piece of dog shit, put their name on it, and make $1 billion.
You know what? Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing.
Well, but there's a lot to it.
It's... It's messed up because it's the only way.
Like,
it's the only way to do it.
To do it. So, you know? Like, I don't know if any of you guys saw Darren Aronofsky's Mother with Jennifer Lawrence.
I've heard about it.
No.
And I've read synopsis on it.
That movie was crazy. It was like fucking insane. It was nuts. And it was too nuts. It was too crazy. Too visually, like, what the fuck, to even make any money. And the director didn't sacrifice shit. He was just like, and he's a good director. He directed Requiem for a Dream, Black Swan, like a bunch of good movies. And that was his latest movie. And it flopped so bad in the box office.
It flopped?
Bad.
I'm not going to lie. You got to understand.
But you had like Jennifer Lawrence.
But you got to understand
his
climate, dog. You got to understand your climate, dog. I'm sorry.
I know. So is it okay? Like, where does you draw the line between art and then like making money for
cinema? So you're saying
they're
the check and balance.
So here,
because that was like art. I saw the movie.
Yeah, they're the check and balance, you know?
But, you know, it's like a description between the Bible and like movie. And it's crazy.
And you need someone to be there and be like, all right, we need to be be able to sell this
but it's
thing.
A little too so correct. There's
unless it was self-funded, which happens.
The only thing that was selling to me was the director, so I watched it because he made it.
Exactly.
And Jennifer Lawrence is really good too, and Javier Bardem, but like that's why it was a good movie.
I'm about to break it to a lot of creators right now. You need to realize the days of 2000s where artistic movies like Black Swan can be a thing is slowly going out the woodwork right now.
Dude, I don't think so. I fucking disagree with that.
Dog.
It's not going out the window because there's always going to be people that hate.
There's always going to be once upon a time in Hollywood, dude.
There's,
at least I hope there will.
But that is not that artistic. That's still action. There's actors in it. There's things in
it.
It
is 100 million times more artistic than Hobbs and Shaw, though. Because
yes.
So when we're looking at that, there's always going to be that side of filmmakers, that side of people who look at movies like that. So I don't think it'll ever, like... be and like, oh, it's going out the window.
For people,
there's
like,
always going
like
to be.
But when people say flop, like watching, I want people to understand. Half the time, people say flop, they still made $50 million off of it. A success in the movie world is like you got to make at least $100 million more or whatever than the movie
you spent. Double that.
So it probably made money. Like even the worst movies made money. Well, the worst of the worst, no. But like people say, movies that flopped.
You never know. You honestly
it lost money.
It lost money.
That was a sure. Movie then. But with that kind of movie, you don't know if it's going to make money or lose money in a big way or a small way.
But you still
got to
know your climate, dog. In the era of superheroes,
why I'm asking, like, where does the draw, like, the line get drawn? Because the difference is, because that was like almost two art, and is that like.
It is.
Should you sacrifice that to make a better movie or a
no?
Movie
you should
that makes
understand
more money?
That that's not a blockbuster release type of thing.
Because it sucks.
It sucks.
No one talks about
it. It never will be. And like, I mean, once like Quentin Tarantino's been making movies for so long, and like, in my eyes, he still hasn't done like a bad movie. I haven't seen all of his movies,
yeah,
but like he still hasn't done a bad movie. And it's like, all right, well, and now he's just cultivated a career of just like, all right, well, he makes a movie, like, it's going to make...
But his...
He is too big of a name.
And he also makes jarring movies, too, though. That's his thing. Like, you know, uses of the N-word, lots of gore action, feet, apparently.
He doesn't filter shit.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the draw. So people kind of want to see how fucking crazy he can get, which draws, because it's exciting. But a mother movie where it's religious aspects, religion is going... People are starting to not fuck with religion.
No, but it's a little different.
It just didn't get, like...
It was just slow. It wasn't, like...
It didn't get the marketing, either. Mm. It was just, like, you know...
Which is... I'm now learning that is a massive...
And the director, he didn't care. He didn't even care.
DC, yeah.
Like I read an interview on it. He was like, he didn't care whether it like
did good or bad,
or not.
He just wanted to get his art out there.
Yeah. He just wants to make exactly. He just like wants to like make art, and like that's what I think is fucking awesome.
And I think with the other like Black Swan, Requiem for a Dream, you're still sacrificing art for like something that's gonna get sold because it works.
Which I hope I continue to do for the rest of my life.
I hope I never
sacrificing.
So
shit
it's a middle,
money.
Yeah. Because you won't want to. I don't know. Some people are way too artistic, so it's like the whole world isn't gonna fuck with that. But then you're artistic, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna mix it with both, and then I'm gonna write something that the whole world is gonna fuck with my art.
Right, and of course, you know? At the end of the day, it's like you want to affect the most amount of people.
That's how I feel like I would write a movie or something.
Yeah, no, and it's true. It's like, okay, well, I mean, yeah. So I guess
I wouldn't write something that's not gonna sell, but I wouldn't write something that's gonna be a sellout. You know?
Yeah, I guess I retract my statement because it's like, yes, I want to reach the largest audience possible, but. It's like, yeah, you gotta find that middle ground.
Yeah,
with like,
stay current with the times.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, of course. And it's like, yeah, you wanna... I think especially in this group, it's like, I think we have a lot to say. And I think we have a lot of, like, unfiltered things to say that would make at least logical people, like, think twice.
Yeah, but we gotta realize this world ain't logical, dog.
But I would say most people are. At least over 51%, I would say, like,
man,
other people that I meet, it's like...
Tell it to Mario Lopez, and I almost lost a job the other day,
I mean,
so.
But that was just... That was the executives, and,
don't
like,
matter.
But...
That's who you're pleasing, that's half people in the world.
Who's that? Who's Mario Lopez?
Mario Lopez had a very open, calm, honest, really non-threatening opinion about changing your baby's gender... You do gender change surgery at age 3, and he just gave an open opinion, didn't affect anyone, didn't mention anything. It was a very good answer, and people wanted to take his job for it.
But do you think that was but the people who want to take his job, do you think they're thinking, oh fuck, what are people thinking?
Literally.
Yeah, I'm
sales
sure that's what they're
down.
Thinking, but that doesn't mean they're logical people, the people who are threatening his job.
Didn't mean they are. They aren't logical people. They are logical people because they know that the rest of the world is not logical, and they're gonna hate
but
not watch
but
the TV show.
But that's their assumption of the world, not ours.
Yeah, but
and
their
like,
assumption of the world is how you get money.
I mean, but that's just their assumption. I don't think that's true. I think they were just wrong. I think they were just like afraid.
Yeah,
they're like,
afraid
oh,
that people will stop watching, and stop watching means less money, and less money means
right,
you're gonna
but
be fired.
But I don't think that's true.
Yeah, you know, we want to believe it's not true.
No, I believe it is. I really do believe that a majority of people are like with it. And if not, fuck them. I'm still going to make like art for the sake of art and for the sake of changing people. Even if it is a small percentage of people. I want to change those people.
And I believe it. And I want to trust you guys for it. But I'm just going to be real with y'all as people still struggling to pay rent every month. At a certain point, when you start getting paid enough, like, hopefully we get to a point where we ain't got to give a shit anymore about what people say because we have enough money to live, our families be okay, and everything be fine. But some of these people, they have to follow these guidelines, those fake apologies. Yeah,
that's why there's a difference for both. Like, the Hobbs and Shaw movies, I fucking love that those movies are out there and shit like that. There's audiences for everything. There's logic for everything.
But people need to realize that the reins of the executives will always pled because, you know, people need to buy three houses, dog. There's a reason why people keep making albums, you know. Why people keep making movies.
Everyone has to do their own thing.
You know, and I'm just saying, the world is run by the guys with money at the end of the day. If you can't...
It'll always be like that.
Yeah, forever.
The people with the most money have so much fucking more money than the other people.
That's such a small percentage, and that's why I think...
But the money is so much more than the percentage of people. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what you do, man. Like, it
doesn't matter.
But people still have opinions. Everybody still has an opinion, and that's why I think... And, like, I swear, this only comes from me doing a shitload of serving gigs, but I really do think a majority of people, at least, I don't know, maybe people who stay home are just fucking weird, but people who come out are reasonable people. Yeah. The majority, it's a small percentage who are like, these people are arrogant, and they're small-minded, and they're not open-minded, and they're not open. I think that's a small percentage. I would say... A majority of people, if you put something in front of them that was so bold and so, like changing, especially to things that are, like, frequent in their lives, like we talked about sexism and racism earlier, off the podcast, I think majority of people think that way, and I think that's why... I also think that's why podcasts are so common, because a majority of people are like, wow, yes, I believe in
that. And I believe you, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, but the problem is the people that are neutral, logical, and are okay with those things don't say anything. The only people that say something are the people that want to have an issue, want to get clout, want to make a big deal of everything, and those people that get heard, those people get seen, and that's why those things happen.
Like you said,
that's why podcasts are amazing, because we could say any crazy shit in the world, we don't have anyone to tether this to.
People relate to that. Like, no one's making $1 million pug. Like, you know. Well, I'm just saying. Like,
who knows? Maybe a couple.
But like the people that only relate to like the fucking top 10%, you know, there's no podcast for that. There's no podcast for those people. So everyone's just relating to the same type of
people
shit.
People relating to
the same type of shit.
And this is what it comes down to.
People motivation, yeah.
And this is what it comes down to. Shout outs to homeboy right there. I'm going to shout out Joe Rogan real quick. That's what people love Joe Rogan because he's the one dude. He just came out and just said some crazy shit that people agree with. And everyone's just like, you know.
I would say majority of people, everyone listens to Joe Rogan, I would say if majority of people listen to him, they would agree. Yeah. But like you were saying it's, the like, shit. It's like the only people who really do anything, because so most people are so neutral and they're so like fluctuating their opinions, are the people who like and dislike videos on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like those are the people who like feel so strongly. It's never the people who are average, and that's why we just talked about videos will have hundreds of millions of views and only like a few thousand likes, and it's because people either extremely agreed so much where they needed to take action, or they extremely disagreed.
That's why I think
having things, and that's why politics are so interesting, is because that's why it goes back and forth, because there's so many people who don't really know.
Or you're like one side of, but you're not like, you could be like 1.7675% on the left than, you know, 2%. And that's like a big difference. So it's like
between who you choose to vote. And it's so true. And those types of people who are open to like fluctuation or to leaning to one side. Those are the people who like we make art for. You know?
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the people who, like, because, I mean, if you're arrogant and you're closed-minded and, like, what you believe is what you believe, like, of course you're going to see a movie and, like, you're going to be like, no, 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 that's wrong. That's wrong. And those are the people who, like, critically choose whether it's bad or good, mm-hmm. you know? Whereas it's the people who are, like, very neutral who are like, oh, I liked that movie or I dislike that movie. And that's why it's so cool to go to the movies with you guys. I'm just using movies as an example. To be like, oh, this is really good or this is really bad, because we're all open-minded people who are like willing to accept things how they come. And I also think that's why we get in like no disagreements, or like, because at the end of the day, it's like, yes, I see your side. And that's just, I think, the healthiest and like most happiest Check. Way you can live about your life.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
with
just
that.
Like willing to take it all in, like willing to hear both sides. And like, that's why I've always felt so like about religion and about like politics, where I've been like, I would say I'm dead even.
Yeah.
Like, I would say I'm literally dead even, agree. Because like anything could turn me to one side or the other. And I hate to be that person who's like, someone's like, hey, fuck that person. And I'm like, yeah, fuck that person. And then the other person is like, no, fuck that person. I'm like, yeah fuck that person.
Oh,
I would say I'm like that.
If
but
we need to be, if we're trying to be real, if someone needs to be a next president, he's the person that comes up in the middle and be like, yeah, I agree. Some things with Trump, because you know the fucking stock market is fucking killing it right now. We also
but
need that. We no, also
so
need to
be like a leader.
Also, yeah,
like
we
that.
Also we need to help the other side. We also need to help people come up. We also there needs to be a middle. No one ever wants to go to the middle.
Oh,
everyone gets polarized left or right. It's like, fuck off. Why can't we just dupe someone in the middle?
Dude, and that's why political parties are just garbage. They're garbage, because I think about the things that I, as a person, believe in, and it's like. There are things on both sides that I strongly believe in.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Like, abortion, it's like, that should be totally up to the person. Like,
yeah.
I'm not the
Don't
one
get
dealing
me
with
started.
The abortion. But.
Yeah, no, of course. There's, I don't know. There's just a bunch of levels to it. And there's no one side or the other, because you could be completely liberal and then believe like one thing that's like Republican,
because
and then like what does that make you?
Yeah.
It's like,
you know?
Oh, you believe in that, so you must be on that side.
Yeah.
And that's
no.
so fucked up. It's like, I have different belief. Why is all viewpoints like on one side is considered a party and then all belief? It's like,
not.
Where's the middle ground?
There's
and
no...
like, that's why I was just so blessed to be raised by like libertarians who were just like, I don't give a like social shit. That's totally up to you. And like economic shit, like I have my own beliefs.
I think the thing that comes down to, because I don't, or not that it comes down to or whatever, but living with like something that like every day is like something that's like on your mind, like taking you away from like normal life, and that's out of your control, shouldn't be there. Like, if I'm so obsessed with the idea that abortion should not be legal, why the fuck is that causing a problem in my life, like my daily life?
Oh,
dude,
should
straight
not.
Up. I mean, that's a whole other conversation, because, dude, I believe in that so hard.
Well,
there shouldn't be one idea that causes, like,
are you
that's out of your control that causes problems
no,
in your,
what
like,
we,
mental
dude,
state.
Are you getting
your,
an abortion every day? Like, is that what these people are... That's what I don't get.
It's just with some issues, people need to fucking realize that 70-year-old white guys cannot make a decision about abortion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They
like,
can't.
I'm sick of the whole idea that we can hire one person to make a decision for everybody. It's
you
like,
and
we believe that everyone has voted me, so I think that I know what's right, and abortion
is
the best.
But at the same time, they don't have complete control, and we are the ones who vote those people in who vote them in.
Yeah, but the problem is that when it gets that many levels, ideologies get mixed up. People get mixed up. It's like, all right, I wanted that, but then now you get to deal with that. It's like,
bro,
all right,
because you're
money,
still dealing with the person.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I get crops, but he's also going to take half of my house. It's like, well, I got to get one or the other.
Well,
so it's like, that fucking
no,
sucks.
That's a really good point, because we can vote for somebody, but we don't know exactly what they're voting for on everything, especially if it's a new thing, you know, because it's like, let's say it's like, oh, this person's a Democrat, so like they're going to do this, this, and this, but then when the bill comes and they vote for something else, it's like, what the fuck?
And then
that their vote is what matters, and that's why people are like, oh, electoral college, like what the fuck is that? You know, it's like people see the popular vote is going against Trump because like people just hate
to say two things to end my political decisions, I hate going into politics. I think there's two things. I think we need to inject more young people into politics. We need to actually start grooming some younger people to get involved and actually make decisions, because I'm sorry, someone who's 60 really doesn't understand what's going on right now. And for two, I honestly believe that if we take money out of politics, because they keep saying we want to do the good for people, but as long as there's money involved in something, you will never do what's good for people. You do what's good for yourself.
Dude. There's too much. Yeah.
So we need
straight up.
So
straight
we need to find a way to pay them. Everyone gets like 60K or whatever. They need to find a way to do that. They have 8 years to do this shit. You served your time. Go find another job. Because at the end of the day, the guy who's been there since the fucking, I'm sorry, a guy's been there since an old white guy's been there since the 60s. I don't fucking trust him, because I low key think this motherfucker's still racist. I'm sorry.
Because like the time that he like grew was up raised in, and especially if that's already like the party that he like quote unquote like that he associates with or whatever, or like you think he's gonna change his mind?
Exactly. You think he's
like someone who's been
that.
Like indoctored into it? Like, there's no way. There's and like no you're way. So I was and gonna say like, oh, but that's so young, but then again, Evan Atkins. Like that kid could, you know, like if he just chose. I mean, we're using someone who's so off topic that nobody knows who we're talking about. But basically a genius software developer that we're all friends with. If he was to choose politics, he could be well versed to become president, and that's why it's like, I mean, not to become, you know,
that's, yeah, I know what you're
that's an
about.
Exaggeration,
I know what
but
yeah,
to become
yeah.
a congressman or a senator, it's like to be someone who actually has a voice.
There's
in, like,
so many
happens.
Other people that it takes to do it that,
yeah, but,
that
and,
are there.
Right, and that's why it's like at the end of the day, it's like, all right, there's so many people voting. But then again,
but it all
at the end
comes
of the day,
with
all
grooming people.
And
people trying to keep their jobs, do this thing. It's like, I need to keep having power. It's like, no, if it's about the collective good of people, you need to go out there, find someone who's good for this generation, make sure they understand what's going on, and then get them groomed to be in this position. Instead of voting and fighting and people making up bullshit stands, be like, I'm going to get everyone free college. And then get there, everyone knows you can't fucking do it. And then you have all this other bullshit go down. There needs to be a way that we can groom someone to do the next thing, then do the next thing, or push them into a way, because it's getting to the point now where we keep electing people that are still in their fucking 70s, and they keep thinking this dumb shit can happen. It's like, no. Like, half of them don't even understand what the fuck Instagram is actually used for.
I think it's a whole, it's
and
always going,
now.
I
especially
think from now on, like, because Trump kind of started this shit while, like, everything kind of started.
I'm not gonna say
anything about Trump, because he's kind of crazy too, and it all started in a crazy time. But I think politics, for the next ever, for fucking the whole world, is going to be. It's never gonna be. Fuck. Everyone's always gonna be talking about it. It's always gonna be crazy.
No.
There's always gonna be some, like, what the fuck. There's no gonna be middle line. Everyone's always gonna be disagreeing. It's for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's. Like, from now on, since social media and everyone has their own opinion, Twitter is a big thing, the president has to tweet his opinion, like, it's always going to be just some crazy shit.
No, and I think you're so right, because I think, unfortunately for him, I think he was caught directly in the crossfire, because I think you're right. I think, like, Trump needed to happen,
yeah.
if you will, in order, like, I think politics, like you said, will never be the same. Mm-hmm. I think he was the transition from like old like money and like
yeah.
like I mean, you think about every president before that, and they were just
like
all white collared like
yeah,
normal.
It's closer
people.
To George Washington than it is to like new age presidents.
Right, exactly. And I think he was the transition into like new age presidents, where like I wouldn't be surprised, Evan, if like now they change the age or something, because yeah, we have
yeah.
like a, I don't know how old he is, 65-year-old dude like tweeting and shit, and now it's like with social, I mean, just with everything like that comes with the marketing and the like popularity,
well,
that comes from social media.
The
it's
first
like,
fucking
it's just
thing
completely different. Like, it's completely different.
The first fucking thing they need to do is make sure the president is a person who actually has political experience, for one. Because we should not have a dude running the political domain, the head motherfucker of the like of politics, not ever be in a political position. It's like going into a business and it's like, yeah, this is my first day in a business. Let's run a
CEO,
business.
First day CEO. Yeah.
It's like, but I have a bunch of people that knows what's going on, so I can do this. Like,
never went to business school.
Like, for the smartest position in the world, that's the dumbest way to pick that position. And I'm like, that is stupid.
I see that.
So we need to have a regulation saying you need to have at least 10x years doing something or whatever in politics to know what the fuck is going on.
Sure. I mean, agreed. I like that. Agreed. Yeah. But that's not, I mean, and trust me, I don't know shit about politics, so I feel bad even talking about this. But you can't say, like you said earlier, the stock market is like at an all-time high, or at least on average, it's been at an all-time high since his. So it's like, yes, his business mind is definitely coming into play more so than any other president. You know, it's like,
yeah, and that's,
so that's why I think it's like, all right, well, there is merit in choosing a businessman to run the country. I'm not saying it should be done after, but all I'm saying is like there. How do we go about it? Because there is a businessman running the country is like effective fiscally.
See, I'm fine with that. And that's fine, you know? When you also need to realize, for one, Obama was fucking president and we're still doing fine economically. We're still doing great. And for two, yeah, I get it. He's a businessman. He can manipulate the stock market. It's so easy for him because that's his job. He's been an investor for 30, 40 years. He has the power to literally change the stock market by three words on Twitter. So
I don't
care about that though. That's not what I care about. Know what I care about? I care about people being healthy enough to being able to actually get healthcare, being schools getting better, roads getting fixed. It was all like, you know, within state politics, whatever the fuck. But things happening in our nation that's actually beneficial for our nation. It's cool as fuck that money's around and we got it, but I'd rather have well-being over money, you know? Oh, yes, Mr. Clue in the back.
So real quick, just like touching on this like political thing, Marco Penn and I, sorry, I need the headphones. Marco Penn and I, we went to it was a politician, like this very, very, very small meetup. There was maybe 8 people here. It was this politician, he was running for senator. I'm not going to name his name, but he was with the current senator in Texas and he was running for his seat, right? And it was the Democratic Party. And it was me, Marco Penn, and like 6 other people, right? And we went to this very small meetup, and the purpose of the meetup was to raise donations for this guy to, like, you know, put into marketing, et cetera. He was campaigning, right? And this was the craziest thing I've, like, ever been to. Like, what I experienced there and what I saw from, like, this politician, right? And it was a very Democratic group of people. Every single person was Democratic, right? And they were big wigs. I mean, there was a guy who sold a company $700 million, super big Democratic guy. He always donates into, you know, the Democratic Party, all of this stuff. And I'm not, like, saying anything about particular party or anything because I know this happens on every side, right? But what I saw in that meeting was unbelievable. Like, they were asking this guy what his policies were for X, Y, and Z, right? All these different subjects. And the way that he would respond that like really hit me was just super weird, was he would be like, I believe in this because the state of Texas is in this certain area right now, and we don't believe in, you know, abortion or whatever it was, right? And he would have these elaborate answers like into all of these like very crazy, like every single thing you ask this guy, he would have this unbelievably, like, it was almost like it was scripted. Like, it was like somebody scripted this shit out for him. He memorized it and then was like saying it to the group. And it was talking from a point of like, I'm going to get elected because I'm saying these things because these people believe in these things. And if that makes any sense at all, that might not make sense at all, right? But the way that this guy talked about every single little thing, and he was a hardcore politician, right? Like, I know this guy was like from the time he was fucking 8 years old. Yeah, he's like my brother, right? Like,
working his life
for this.
He was 12.
But like, holy shit, was I blown away by this. Like, it was unbelievable. I don't even know how to really explain it, and I can't go into too much detail just like with what everyone was saying, but like, it was weird, and it was very strange because like the vibe that I got from it was like, he's not doing this like to actually like to actually change something. He was doing this and he was saying the things he's saying because it was a psychology thing. It was a way that everyone's been thinking, and that's what blew my mind away. It was just like everything that this guy said was because, oh, this, you know, the people of Texas and these communities right here, they believe in X, Y, and Z. So we've been presenting our message to them in this fashion. And that was like, that was wild. I mean, I don't really know exactly how to describe it to you guys, but that was a different thing.
It's a whole different game when they present. It's an art just like everything else, dude. The way they present, like you said, it was scripted. It was scripted, dog. These are not... People literally plant people to ask questions in the crowd to scripted answers. And it's a good point to show that you know what you're talking about, show what you're doing. But they can also answer questions for real. But the sad part is that's the side I don't want in politics anymore, the entertainment factor. Because they can just say shit to where it's like, I can do this. That's I can have this happen.
Other people.
And it's like they may have the same idea, but it's like that's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to bolster other things, your businesses, how you can make more money outside of it.
That's why
like
false promises.
Yeah,
every year. Every new term, people are like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And it, like you said, it's just to bolster like their own cause for like what they don't even believe in. It's just like what they know. It's like, dude, I mean, Hillary Clinton, she was like, oh, like, yeah, I like no on gay marriage, no on gay marriage. And then like, it was her time to run for president. And she was like, gay marriage is like well accepted. And it's just like, you're just so wishy-washy.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's the same thing with movies. It's like, you're doing things for the sake of making money or like aka
getting
like
approval.
Getting elected.
Yeah, getting approval.
And it's like that's all they care about.
No
it's
one's
like,
up there just
and it's
like I'll keep what I've been saying for the last 15 years.
No, nobody, because there's no integrity. But when you experience that guy speaking, did it sound like he was doing it for the sake of him getting elected, or did it sound like it was for the sake of him like doing the good of the country?
Him getting elected, 100%.
See, and that's like 100%. See, that's so gross, and I really hope you're right, Evan. With like, I hope that time is past. I hope that time is past, and I really, truly believe, like you said, also, that the next president will be someone who's like, nope, I'm not gonna try to like say anything that I'll regret later, and like I will say everything that's on my mind. Because I think, like, now with social media, and it's very hard to, like, tell lies. And it's like, the second someone says something out of place, it's like, they have to put an apology. But I really hope someone's just like, hey, like, I know everything I say or do is being recorded. So, like, I'm just going to stay true to myself. And, like, whatever I'm saying 6 years ago is still true to this day. Unless I've just, like... learned more knowledge, but not something as drastic as like, no, it's bad. I disgrace that to like, no, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like, so like, at least try to explain where that came from. But, like, if you were like, hey, this happened, like, I changed my mindset on this because this guy spoke to me about, not just like, nope, I believe in this now because it's what the popular like people believe in. It's like, it's just so garbage.
I hate to be a pessimist towards this because it's to our country and how our lives would be affected, but I don't think it's going to change. It's just like movies. People are just going to be like, you know what? Like, this is what sells. This is what happens. This is literally how Trump got fucking voted in. So it's like people will keep going off of lies because there's some people out there like, well, he's going to do this for me, right? And I was like, think about this shit, dude. Like, it's not just you and your community in this world. This world spans out to millions of people. But they keep thinking about themselves, and that's what it comes down to. People want the fake. They want the entertainment. They want the hurrahs. They want building walls. They want free colleges for millions upon millions of people. And then they get mad when taxes go up. And
right.
Then it's just like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Dude,
it's like, you think money just gets made out of nowhere because of nothing? It's like, logically speaking... Anytime something drastic like free college or building
quote
walls,
unquote free
colleges, like, do you think this money is just made and things just happen? No, dude, you're gonna pay money. And people say other people are gonna pay for it. Would you pay for someone else's house? No. So why would someone else pay for our wall?
No, dude, like my grandfather always used to say, "There's no free lunch."
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no such thing, dude. There's Facts. No such thing, and it's like free college. It's like like not it's free. Not just like it's free. Like build that for nothing. Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's just. But I will say, and like I mean, this is so off topic, and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I think the reason Trump got elected was because people were just so tired of like lies, honestly. Like he was just like, nope, I'm just unfiltered, and like that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I mean, no other president, and like, oh, people are like, oh, it's white, but it's like, all right, well, I mean, there's the first black president was Barack Obama, which was literally like 4 years ago, three years ago, or whatever. So it's like, that's not true. But it's like he was just saying shit and no one was giving a fuck because it's like that. Okay, well, at least he's being honest.
Yeah, well, and he just had
like,
hype.
At least he's being honest with like, oh, like I grabbed her by the pussy. It's like, all right, well, he's not trying to be like, no, like, yeah. no.
And I'm not going
to
lie.
No, he's just like, yeah, sorry. Like,
I'm not going to lie, this dude had hype. He came out there saying cuss words, making fun of people. He was entertaining.
But he was unfiltered.
Exactly. He was entertaining, and every time you go to the booths, you thought of everybody else and be like, you don't know what's going down.
What? Yeah, like you said, I mean, my life has changed zero. And that's why it's like, politics aren't really like, why am I going to get frustrated over something that not only, one, I have no control over, but two, that doesn't affect me at all?
That's what I was saying, but yeah.
So I watched this video the other day, Taylor Swift dancing with the Migos, and she is like the single worst dancer I've ever seen in my entire life. But I'm going to say this. Do you think country and rap can actually be a thing?
Country rap or country and rap?
I think a lot of it already is.
Old Town Road.
Florida Georgia Line, dude. A lot of their stuff is like very like already hip hop based. Dude, I bet you money within 5 years someone will finesse it and just be like, yo, this is like what it is now. Or like maybe not what it is now, but like definitely a subgenre that's like, yo, this is bigger than anything.
You think it's going to catch on?
Yeah.
I think it already has.
In a way, yeah, but there has to be that one artist.
I don't mean rap. I think a beautiful blend. I don't think like, oh, it's going to be trash. I think it'll actually be good music. I think it actually will.
I personally believe right now J. Cole could hop on one of these country little songs with a guitar because they have the melodies and the riffs and the beats for it.
Like Post Malone's almost Post country Malone, too sometimes.
Yeah. He does like acoustic stuff, yeah.
Country's just guitar and 808s now. You can easily finesse that shit into fucking...
straight up, Florida and it helps them get more modern. Already doing really close.
Exactly.
Like really close. Very, very close. Like one
but listen,
step and they'll be there.
You can't be like, you can't be matching that up with like George Strait country.
No.
And now it's a whole nother country.
It'll be, like I said, it'll be a subgenre.
It'll be the
it'll
Thomas
be something,
Rhett.
And
Thomas
then there's Rhett. The whole Old Town Road thing, which is
okay.
Number one.
I'm going to debunk that bullshit.
I don't
want to
like go in that.
Right the fuck
stepping
now.
Stone. That's a stepping stone. I think it's a joke, but it is a stepping stone in the right direction.
Just because... The chorus is a little bit... just because the chorus had a guitar in it doesn't make it country.
He made a fake country song that somehow hit number one and stayed number one for longer than any song ever.
Wait, and so that's because media. That's because Instagram got a hold of it. 14-year-olds jizzed on it.
Because of that, that's what that is now. That's because that that's what that is now. So that's country rap to everyone who... When you say country rap, Old Town Road.
And I hate that.
And Lil Nas is not going to be the person who takes country rap and like defines that shit.
Talk to me when Lil Nas is relevant next year.
No, but let's talk. I'm talking about, there's no artist right now who's defining country rap.
Well, let me tell you who's going to do it.
Besides Lil Nas, and he's not going to be the guy who actually does it.
Let me make a prediction. Let me tell you who's going to do it first. Khaled, Kane Brown, they already halfway did it. That was R&B and country slashed together. Kane Brown's probably one of the first people that's actually going to make a good song with like country music and rap. Because for one, he's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Two, he's from like southern Atlanta or whatever part of Atlanta where it's a lot of hip hop has grown from. And he already has that swag to it. People in the country music world already
got
to
get a feature.
Just got to get one feature.
One feature.
But country people already like him.
Exactly.
And like
I'm assuming
Khalid's people already
like him. And then the other thing is Thomas Rhett made a song with who's that EDM? Zed? And that's made my biggest leaps. Like this shit's changing right now because
there's been several country artists. Yeah, like
with
Zach
EDM?
Brown.
Have they made EDM
Zach
artists?
Brown, Broken Arrows with Avicii. I think.
I'm gonna take someone it takes one I think to me it takes one EDM artist to get like a fucking Tory Lanez and a Mary Antebellum or Lady Antebellum together, and they're gonna make something
fire. It could make or break their shit, dude.
But it won't.
If they
break
go two country, if J. Cole went two country, everybody would be like, "What the fuck?"
Well,
are
yeah,
you
if he went, too big if he went jumped country, yes. But if one he song, did like one exactly yeah. a single, and same with the country artists, if they
why does
money,
he care unless
know.
He has a big plan to make that shit like
to
hit.
Mix up the game, do
yeah,
it for the art.
Yeah, but if he did, and if it was good,
it's not there yet. It's not there yet.
If it was good, if
I'm
it
just
was
gonna
good
say
on both ends, people would be, and it is, dude. It's
if,
so close.
I'm just gonna say, if someone wants to be the richest artist in the world, they find a way to mash country and rap together. Because if you get both of those genres to actually listen to your music, you will make the most money ever.
Yeah,
period. More than Michael Jackson, more than the Beatles, more than fucking anybody. Because that's literally would be everybody.
I agree.
Because there's people that like rap, and there's people that like country, and there's everybody in the middle that's mixed with everything else.
And listen to EDM.
Yeah. It's like
and
they all.
That's why Old Town Road is number one forever.
Yeah, that's literally half
I mean,
the reason
but,
why.
But that was still like a joke. But I still think
still
it was
everybody.
A great like.
But any song
stone.
Gets pushed like that,
can,
and then it stays at number
was,
one
like,
for
great
a reason.
Stepping stone, dude. And that's
people
why
can
I
believe
think,
in it.
That's
now.
Why I think, like you said, like if Khalid and what's his name,
Kane Brown. They already made a song together.
I know they did, but like it didn't get that big. It was an okay song. Yeah, if they do something that's like fire,
which can be get him Black Kane Brown and like fucking.
Georgia Line.
Yeah, and make a mashup or get fucking a. What was that?
But
dude?
That's a joke right now.
That's
you
not,
talk
it
about
it. Have to be a joke. People keep saying it's a joke, but the only reason it's
until
a joke
the one person does it, but that's
and
still.
And be serious about it, dude. They all talk about the same shit.
But what do you? How do you make a rap song country?
Jesus. But literally, it's easy how to make a rap song country.
But that's not Old Town Road, like a kind of a joke.
No, it's easy to make a country because they talk about the same shit. Okay, let me tell you how I can do it. Get a
but you
got to
kind of talk like it.
No, you don't.
Then you're rapping like a rapper. Then it, no. You could rap like a
dude,
rapper,
nobody,
then it's more of a rap
rappers
song.
Have country twang.
Okay, but listen.
Get Big Crit on a song.
Sure, yeah, okay. It could happen, but it's a little different. Because you could rap, and then you could talk about country shit, but then it's a rap song, and then you're joking.
That's not how you do it. So you keep trying to take a rap person and make them do country shit, or a country person make them do rap shit. That's not what you do.
That's why
you
I'm get, saying it's a weird mix, because
no,
it's not going to happen.
It doesn't have to be.
Until the one person
me,
is like...
Okay, Carl, let me tell you this. We have two different sides, but mm-hmm. we're going to say them a different way. I'm going to say it the Evan way, you're going to say it the Carter way. Give us one beat, put us on a song, it's going to be a song. It doesn't have to be cataract. It
doesn't
have
to be mixed.
So all you do is get a beat that has a little bit, like something can do a guitar melody halfway through that they can sing on and then rap slash on. And then a little bit 808 so they can rap on it and kind of make. And two producers are already doing that.
I know.
Then get them to talk about the same thing. Talk about
when,
love that got lost or
when,
getting really high.
When does it not become Old Town Road? Because
when does it not become Old Town Road? We know Billy Ray Cyrus and some dude that you never heard of on it. That's when it becomes not Old Town Road.
That's so true.
That's how you do it.
Okay, but that's why I'm saying no one is gonna do you. It takes a really big leap to change your
not
career
really.
And do that if you're a no
not
one.
Anymore.
Not really. Not
because
yet.
Old Town Road came out. If you listen to the country that Evan and I listen to,
okay.
It's very like
it's getting there.
It's hip hop oriented.
No, I believe that. I believe that, but
time.
I don't. You have to be really brave as an artist who already has a like a. Like a past vision and
smart, dude.
But also because it's a, you could change your career if it doesn't hit number one. Then
let's go back to your. Let's go back to the old.
True.
Let's go back to the old argument of just
Khalid and Kane Brown, both number one, pretty close to number one artists in their own genres,
made
a song together.
Granted, they both do sing. I'll give them that one caveat.
Yeah,
they both do sing, but I'm gonna tell you this. The one way that you can do this is easy. Literally get a person like, fuck, let me think. Honestly, I would start with Big Crit. He's country as fuck, dude. He's from Texas. You need to listen to Big Crit. He's swaggy as hell. He's country. He has that twang. Mm-hmm. He has that swag.
Maybe he'll do it.
And then you get some other hella dude, Chris Stapleton can make any song with any rapper ever.
So
without
many.
A he already has a song
but,
with Ed Sheeran
know,
and fucking
know, but,
Chance
but,
the Rapper.
But when it comes listen,
yeah, it doesn't,
but
yeah.
When it comes to making a song in the mix of two genres, that shit is hard when it's not
dude,
an old
not
tone.
Not, I get like
it's
Evan
hard,
said, dude,
it's
you
hard.
Need 808s and like a simple guitar.
Think about
riff.
The people who make music. It's hard to make a rap song. It's hard to make a country song. So to mix both and define a genre, it's even
no,
harder.
It's, see, that's
dude,
this is where
I disagree.
No, this is where the new age is fucked up. Because you realize rap used to be with guitars and drums and all the other shit, right?
Yeah, but
they used to rap over that, right?
Yeah.
They can do it again.
People that are actually, which they did in Old Town Road.
You can't put Tekashi 6ix9ine on this song. You need an actual rapper.
No, yeah.
You need someone that can actually write down lyrics.
Music,
dude, put Drake on it. Dude, Drake can sing the fucking chorus. It doesn't matter.
He's already doing the Latin shit, man.
Exactly. Like, it's so easy to do. All you gotta do is be brave enough, have enough balls to say, fuck the people, and just make the song. And be like, yo, you're a cool dude. I'm a cool dude. I mean, songs I heard about country artists talk about losing a girl and getting high as fuck. There's so many.
There's a lot to it, though. There's a lot to it.
Dude, I really don't think this is what I'm thinking.
I'm hearing you out.
Okay, because Old Town Road is, like, number one. It's, like, the first country rap to hit. So, like, the
next
person to
do it. Okay, I'm
going to
pause you right there. It's not because Nelly
I know, but when you look at, when everyone looks at it, when everyone looks at it, it is. So, the next person to do it, it's, like, they're doing that because that's the next thing. It's like the next trend.
Yeah, it's
so it's either make or break. It has to be really fucking good.
And I respect that answer. No, I respect that answer because he's right. You're still gonna be following that trend of Old Town Road.
That's why I'm saying that you have to be really brave and it has to be really good.
But you don't have. It can be literally one song, and you can just make it. Literally, I can already picture it. Give me fucking, like, one, I would love if Chris Stapleton does. Give me Chris Stapleton and give me fucking, no one knows Boogie, but give me, like, a Big Crit or give me, like, a J. Cole or give me a Kendrick song that can just sit there, spit some solid rhymes just to talk about some shit. Because
they
both
could do
can.
It. I'm
because,
not saying they can't do it.
No, no. I'm
you
just
know how many beat switches there is? You could do a country folk.
No beat switch.
You don't have to, but I'm just saying you
dude,
could.
Just get a guitar and a good little.
You could make a country EDM rap song that's also a jazz song. There's no limit to any. How music's made anymore, so it doesn't matter.
But you're saying, exactly. You're saying the climate's the issue? It's not the issue.
I'm not saying that. I'm
because
just
you have a solid fan base that I'm trusts saying, your musical choice.
I'm saying
choice.
When you're a no one, uh-huh. It's easier to start your rap career and define it instead of being J. Cole and being like, I'm going to completely change everything I've ever
done. You can just feature. Change, you just feature like and make said, one song. Exactly.
But do you think he would? Do you think J. Cole would actually go
if
on the country
if someone came up and talked to him? Yeah, see, I think the biggest thing right now is the two worlds aren't mixing. That's the only thing. They're not hanging out with each other. How people make music together is when they hang out, kick it, and be like, all right, yo, you're dope. Let's make a song.
And it's
they're,
so,
they're
like,
just not hanging out.
Separate worlds,
that's why
right.
Khaled and Kane Brown, the first people to do it, no one talked about it because they're both in their 20s and kids, and they're like, yo, you're dope. It's like, yo, you're dope. And they're like, all right, let's
it's,
make a fucking
a
song.
It's a weird, but like Lil Nas, he can do it because
he, was
he
no one
did
in
it because he was a no one, but he can't even recreate it because it was just like a special time
because
in
he
the
didn't
thing.
Even make the goddamn song.
It's a joke.
Yeah, he didn't even make the
joke.
He did. He made the whole thing and then he got Billy Ray on it and he pushed it through social media.
I think he knew Billy Ray Cyrus.
He pushed it through social media. The song originally blew up through a music video he made over top of Red Dead 1. He made it like over gameplay and then he blew it up through Twitter. Like that guy was hustling to get that song out there because it was still a joke.
And then now he made an album that had zero country music on it.
Because he couldn't recreate like what he thought of because it was a joke.
And that's why it's a joke. And that's why no one took it seriously. I'm saying,
no, they do take it seriously.
No, it's like Gangnam Style, dude.
Yeah.
It's like that same
yeah,
thing
it is,
like
but
a trendy,
people
like,
fuck
song.
With it.
Yeah, they do. And it's just,
I mean, do they though? Or is it just like... Is it like, oh, it's fun? It's
you
like,
know
it
the words,
like,
right?
It's yeah, catchy. I mean, but it would be like to listening it. To like Britney Spears or something where it's like, yeah, this is like funny and like
you don't
it
feel
is
the
good...
same way you feel when you listen to real country music. You don't
no,
feel the same
no.
way you feel
but
when you listen to real
you
rap music.
It. That's
no.
how you can change
so
it.
So it's a weird mix of both.
So, like, why couldn't you do that but on a professional
I'm
level?
I'm saying you can, but when it's not a joke. Then it's almost taken too seriously, and then you get way more criticism.
Nah.
Yeah,
if it's done,
I think
like
you
Evan
do.
Said, if it's done right, dude. If
and it can
done
be
right,
done right. You just need the right people to get together.
But
in the same room.
But then it's so much harder to be done right because it, then like
I don't think it
you
is.
Don't,
dog.
It's undefined.
All
unless you get Florida, Georgia Line, and Drake.
The
like,
is realize
imagine that.
Like the possibility of what could come of it.
What are you saying?
So, do you think that there's going to be people like? Like not say like Kendrick or J. Cole, right? Maybe not them in particular.
Probably not them.
But
I can't think of anyone else, right?
Do you think it's gonna be like kinda like trap where it's like a bunch of new artists are coming up in this new genre?
Yep. And
yes.
being friends.
Yeah?
I agree.
Or people like converting to
Meeting up. It's going to be the same effect as Khaled and Kane Brown. They're going to be at some awards thing. They're going to be 20, just blew up. And they'd be like, yo, I like your music. Let's kick it. And they kick it. They realize they're the same fucking person. Because like, oh, dude, you like weed? It's like, oh, I like weed. It's like, oh, dude, you like girls? Like, oh, I like girls. Like, yo, I had this beat. And it's like, oh, yeah, I write lyrics. It's like, oh, no way, I write lyrics. And like, all of a sudden, they're going to make a fucking song together. And then they're not going to care because the world's becoming more and more independent. So they're just going to drop it themselves on Spotify. It's going to blow the fuck up and be like, who are these two? One's going to be a rapper. Like, you can easily get Black to do it. Back when he was young, like, more yeah. or less known, he yeah. did it. I know so many artists that could have hopped on a country beat, killed it, had a song chorus in the background, and it would have been fine.
But I guarantee you what will happen is one person will do it really well.
Yeah.
They'll make a ton of money. three to five songs, and then everyone yeah. will be jumping on. All rappers, country music mm-hmm. artists, they'll be like...
Yet.
Huh?
Dude, it's not there.
There's
yet.
More black no, country I th- artists.
Dude,
more white
it's
rappers,
one.
Dog.
It's literally like one or two songs away.
I believe you. I don't think there's a much of a debate about it, but I think even country rap as a thing, it's not going to be a lasting.
Oh, I
think it will.
I think it's going to take time. I think it will take time, but I'm gonna tell you about the way that people are intermingling in things. That cat just fucking launched. But the way that things are intermingling in the world that Instagram's making so
and
much.
And how fast it happens.
Yeah,
yeah
like,
dude.
I bet you
dude,
coming here
anything
soon.
Anything that will blow up.
Dude, you, coming here
you
soon.
You should hear some of the shitty rap music that blows up.
Oh, no, I listen to a lot of it. It's garbage. No. And yeah. once that trend of drug
anything
rap is done,
up, dude,
that
anything.
Trend of drug
I
rap is
it.
Done, I think it'll be a lot better. I think these young guys are more open to things because people have been talking about it. And I think it can change. We just need the right two to be together. We need right two homies to actually be homies and be like, yo, let's just make a song, fuck it.
Let's
and
just
then,
jam together and exactly. then just like see what happens.
You can see it in crews like they do it. They have a rock background where they make a lot of rock music, but they got a rapper to rap over it. And it's the same idea. It's blending as we
it's
speak.
It's always happening. I mean, I would consider Post Malone as much country as he is rap.
I mean, he started off doing Bob Dylan covers.
He,
like, that dude
how
is
can
like,
you call that guy just a rapper? You can't. So.
Dude, exactly. And that's why you guys know how it's huge happening. Of a fan I am of Post Malone. Mm. Like, he's just like, to me, that's a musician, not just like a rapper.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And like,
and so
I love
that. Shit is happening more, but it's a, like, if you define it as country rap, it could be so ruining.
Well, no, no. And I don't think there's no way it'll ever be called country rap. It'll come up with some name where people are like, at first, they're afraid to call it country, like country and rap mixed.
Crap.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like they want to. I guarantee you it'll hit a point where it's like, oh, it has a name. Very shortly, it'll come up with some crazy fucking name. And then it'll just be like, oh, this is actually just country and rap mixed together.
Crap.
You know what I mean?
Do you like crap music?
Crap?
That's where we're going. That's where we're going.
Crap music, bro.
I like it.
Country and rap. That's crazy, man.
I don't know. There's a fuck, dude. And rap music just keeps growing into this
and
weird
keeps getting
worse.
In my opinion, worse. I was going to say
worse
the same
and
thing.
Better
I think it
and
gets
worse.
I think
better.
It gets worse. And honestly, I think country music is in a really good place right now.
There's so
many. I can't believe I'm saying that, but dude, there's some really good country artists right now, dude, that I'm just like listening to, and I'm like, dude, this is like the best country I've ever heard.
That's how you get. That's how you get the rest of the world into country, though, because
dude, and it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting
bigger. Even though I'm not like against country, I would never go fucking search it up and start downloading country and start listening.
Why? Hold on. Why?
Because I don't feel that. It doesn't.
Why?
I don't feel.
Is it? Is because
the
beat? I
didn't grow
up
in the country. I didn't like.
Do you think they get
it? I get that.
It's more like church music to me, kind of. Like,
dude,
I don't like listen to church music. I don't listen to country music because it's just not that. I don't feel that.
But have you given it a chance more?
Yeah.
I
feel for Carter.
But it would be more of like a, okay, I date this like country girl and she gets me really into it and it's like that type of thing. Or like,
so,
it'd have to be like really pressing for me to like go out of my way and start listening to it.
Okay.
But
my
not against it.
My old roommate, he was like, Will. He was like, he's like, I respect country music, but I just can't listen to it because it's just not, like, what I'm familiar with.
Yeah,
and
that's
I was
how
like,
I feel.
All right, well, I was never, like, I didn't start being a country artist, you know, like, or a country fan. I was, yeah, I didn't just
yeah,
start out.
Country
I started out as a trap artist, and then I moved on. But I just, you know, he was like, oh, I just can't, like, relate to it. He was like, you know, I was kind of born in, like, the streets and stuff, and, like, it's just nothing I've ever related to. Like, I appreciate it, but it's just never been something I listen to. And I was like, I get that. Like, I do, because if it's just not like what you're used to, I mean, we grew up in not like, like rural places or urban places.
We grew up, in like, nature. And I tell people this all the time. Is like, you're not really understanding country music until you sit, and as shit as can be, as I see, as soon as you sit in a truck bed and drink a beer at like 3 o'clock on a
Sunday. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. That's when it's the perfect time to play country music or something.
Because you understand what they talk about
during
the summertime and what they feel. It's like
Johnny Cash, man.
But dude, that's a stepping stone, man, because he's the hardest country. Yeah. Like, he's
when I first transitioned, when I first transitioned, I listened to Sunny in 75 on the beach, and it was Sunny in 75. And I was like, okay, I kind of fuck with country music. You
know? Yeah, I mean, that's how it happens. Because, like, I used to hate on rap music, and then I just fucking.
And that's why it's funny people call it.
You have to hear one song or something, but, like, for me, when you talk about country, I'm not gonna like, I can't hate on it. I can't say I like it, but it does, like, you do have to kind of like relate to that country,
country vibe. So my cousin told me something a long time ago, and when she first told me this, because I wasn't listening to country, I was like, why the fuck would I ever do that? She was like, I literally locked myself in a room for a week and just played country until I liked it. And I was like, why the fuck would you ever do that to yourself? But now that I understand it, it's like, dude, this sounds so dumb. But it's like, there's like the trap side of me, which likes to just get nasty and just play like dirty shit and just like fuck whores and just like do cocaine.
You feel shit when you listen to country
music. Like
the
shit where it's like, there's like I listen to like Brothers Osborne and I literally am on the verge of tears and I'm like, this is who I am.
There's
I'm
no, like, yes, this, they don't like, have that yes, type of music.
There's a time and place for trap music.
It's a little too vulnerable or something.
Let me ask you something. No, this is one thing that you can like. This is one thing you're going to like. Remember when we went to Reno and you walked through the forest?
Yeah.
That those feelings like that, that's how they embody themselves.
That's what
in
I mean.
Music.
Then you can do it.
And it's a lot more vulnerable. It's open. When you grow up in that,
you have to be more vulnerable to even accept that music or start listening.
Because
to
it's more, it's more positive and open. Like, things will be okay. I'm gonna be okay. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to be sad.
It's
drink
easier
yourself
to trash
to sleep.
On too. That way.
Yeah. And it's thing is, rap doesn't do that. Rap is negative. Country's positive. That's why I think a good mix of both make you a good, like a pretty solid person.
So that's why when it's in the mix, you could like positive rap, and then it like works for you instead of like country.
It's hard to find positive.
I also think
there's
you
a
can.
Lot. It goes from like that.
Yes, it is.
There's
we downplay everyone. We fuck everyone's girlfriends. We do all the drugs.
No,
we sell
not,
the drugs.
That's not just rap. You can't put that into one category because everyone makes different type of music. That's like rap.
Bro, trust me, I know. I listen to a lot of it. I listen to a lot of it. I love people. I love people like Atmosphere. I love people like Big Crit. I love people that make that type of music. But I'm gonna tell you, when people say rap music, who are the first people they think of?
Yeah, but
fucking.
When I say alternative rap, it's a different genre than rap.
Fuck your bitches, nigga. Like that shit. That's what they think rap is. But what we,
what you perceive it as.
No, no. But that's what we don't know it as that because you listen to it as an intimate listener of rap music. That's the difference.
I'm just trying to get
every artist has a different.
Literally,
and some people are.
Whatever makes me the most lit.
See,
we can't be lit forever, dog.
See, whereas like country music is for when you're like. You listen to it and you're like thinking.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, and
but
I'm
you
not
do
saying,
say,
I'm not saying, excuse me, I don't want to say rap doesn't make you do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it
go.
Makes you feel like sentimental and it makes you feel like, God, this sounds so dumb. Like, human.
Nostalgic. I like
the, like, it makes you sound very human and it makes you want to go out to the South and just be like, I want to be with a Southern girl for the rest of my life and just like live a wholesome life.
That just sounds
and, like, that's
crazy
awesome.
To me. It sounds
it does,
crazy.
But,
see, but yes, until
but,
you do
but,
it, until
me,
you listen
no,
to
but
it,
listen,
I swear.
To me, I find that same exact feeling in certain artists that are also rappers.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I can see that.
Of course.
Also,
no,
and
I get
and
that,
you guys
I
probably
that.
Don't even know these artists.
But
it's
general.
That's that same.
I know he's not like rap, but like, I know what you mean.
You find
like
your thing, like, you know.
But
so I think it matters with Sean.
Dude, with country music, will I swear to God, you can't take it seriously at first. You cannot. Yeah. You have to listen to it like laughingly.
It can be corny.
Because it's so like.
But
it's
dude,
so
every,
like heartfelt and like, oh God.
Every type
bump.
Of music can make you an even artist. Make you feel different type of
but
thing.
But
and some
don't...
artists do it so much better than others And country does that better than any other.
But they're also very cheesy. Country is more. Rap will never be cheesy. Country is very cheesy. And that's why you have to, like. That's why I tell people who are first listening to it, it's like, don't take it seriously. Mm. You cannot take it seriously. Because there are people. There are bands like Brooks and Dunn that are so, like, cheesy and, like, over the top. But yet, if you actually listen to what they're talking about, it's like, wow, that's, like, the best. That's, like, better than any rap line I've. There's one line that they say where it's like, I listen. Every word in every sad song is what I'm thinking. And it's just like, it's like, wow, that's really, like. Every sad song you listen to is, like, exactly what I'm thinking. And it's, like, that's really, like, sad and, like, very true. And it's very true. And it's, like, but you just have to approach it in a much different way than what you would approach rap music.
No, it is. It's true. Young Ethan said, it's based on your experience and what you feel and what you've been a part of. I just tell people, if you want to understand country, drive 2 hours to, like, go somewhere in Reno where you see none but trees and dirt and shit. Listen to country music and it's sunny. You understand what it is. It's a bright feeling. It's nostalgic. Makes you think of good feelings, happy things. It can almost make it bad things. It can make you think a lot of different things.
You didn't, like, grow up in that, and country's been this, like, different. It's been, like,
yeah, but you need to realize I grew up in a house where no one in my fucking family.
Get past the cheese.
And I get that. But I grew up in a house where they hated country, dog.
So it has to be forced on you in the right way.
No, that's what I'm saying.
If I'm dating a girl and she's, like, doing it and you're, like, forced into it and you kind of like yeah, I like it, you know.
Yeah,
I think all you gotta do,
but it takes a lot.
I think all you gotta do is just approach it as if it's like it is, like, it's cheesy because I know you're like a well versed. Find some
country music I like if I actually took the time. Yeah, you know.
But you just have to. I swear, to approach it to begin with, you have to just be like, this is so funny, and, like, you have to listen. You have to be around the right people who, like, know it. Because, like, I was around, like, my brother had been listening to country music forever, and I was like, whatever, like, this is dumb, I've never really, like, listened to it. And then, yeah, I just shared an experience where we listened to this really, like, dumb, super cheesy country song that is still, to this day, my favorite country song. And it's like, it just holds a place in your heart more than any other type of music, you know?
Oh, no.
Totally, for you, yeah. But, like, I mean, there's, like, there's no such thing as better music. Like, it's all just
There's no better or worse music. Yeah, people, right. It's all subjective. Right. Yeah, very true.
I think we're just standing.
Oh, how nice for you to join us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey. Fine. You guys are talking from a standpoint of people
putting in your opinion,
like country
dude.
Music mm-hmm. and have, like, grown up with that, and also from a perspective of the rest of the world hates country music because they do.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Says, everyone like all music except country.
But yeah, they like it for, I think they like it for everyone bad reasons.
That. Because no one, everyone. Because they hear one country song and then they put it together.
It's like, I'm not trying to fuck my sister.
Like, yeah, everyone says that. It's
you
so
know,
funny.
It's the same thing like how Brett looks at rap music because he hears one rap song and it sounds the same as every other rap song when you don't go out of your way to like it. So it's the difference. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I could. You have to be open-minded to get to there, you know? It's weird. So, I don't know.
So, like, Brett isn't open-minded.
He's not open-minded to
100%.
Like,
no, 100%.
Brett is not open-minded.
No, Brett's not open-minded to find rap music that he would like.
Are you joking? No. He's not.
Yeah. I just tell
everyone. Not to music, at least.
I just tell everyone that thinks that country, all they talk about is just bullshit and fucking sisters and shit. I tell them to listen to Reckless by Kip Moore, and it was like, if you don't relate to that song, he literally talks about how he had no fucking idea what to do. Then he found music, and then he found out what he wanted to do. Okay. And he does it in the most dope way, about, like, smoking, drinking,
name
fucking
hookers.
Name
one song that's
like,
just about, like, doing dumb country shit.
Oh, okay.
Like, that other, that isn't by Luke Bryan.
No, but, dude, be around the Howards, you'll find some shitty songs. Yeah. I love them. They had some crazy country music, but goddamn, some of them are so bad. I love the Howards, by the way, if they listen to this. Love all you guys.
You can listen to anything in the middle that's not, that doesn't sound like a country artist, like, even like Jeff Buckley or like some shit like that.
Who the fuck is Jeff Buckley?
I don't know. I don't know. He made Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I mean, I know that song.
You know
that song. Jeff Buckley made that song. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I thought it was like a slave song. Like, this sang it on like the plantation.
No, I remember hearing it in Shrek. It
sounds like a slave song. For
yeah, like they just picking.
All just singing it. It's just passed down.
By generation. And then Jeff Buckley just stole the shit and made it into a song.
No,
one of the slave masters took that shit.
Black people are singing.
Hey, sing that for me again, please.
Let me record it in my studio.
Like I just don't like the way a country voice sounds. Like, hey, you know, like that shit is just,
I like it actually.
It's weird. So when you find a good medium, when you just grew up with that shit, it's just like,
well,
it works.
Dude, it's really, I give you credit because it's really hard. The fact that you even like can enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy it for the longest time, but it's like getting past that like twang and like not just hearing that and like hearing what they're saying and like actually
country
hearing
twang.
The music, like the same way you would hear rap.
It's like getting used to reading subtitles.
It is. No, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Dude, because there are so, like I said, right now, I really do believe we're in like a really good time for country music because there are so many good artists who I'm like
good music right now.
Bam. Like these, dude, I was listening to Brothers Osborne all day today. Dude, they are so good. They are so good.
Brothers Osborne?
The Brothers Osborne.
I like the whole movie talk.
Listen,
though.
We'll
like talking together. That's fuck, I'm cool. Tired, bro. We should end the podcast. Just put the mics down.